Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We are so grateful to be here this morning because truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. And this morning when we come back in, we're going to pray for our brother Deacon Fraser. He lost a relative going home to be with the Lord, and we are going to be praying for them before we start the service this morning. But we want you to get in. We're going to go into worship, worshiping the Father this morning. In Jesus' holy name, let's go into worship. For some reason, the computer don't want to bring up the worship music. I don't know why. Yeah. No, really, you're not muted. Be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God. We glorify you. We don't know what's going on here with this. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, these CDs are playing. Let me see what's going on here. Let me bring up the settings. We got the computer here. Let's see what's happening. Hallelujah, Jesus. The devil is a liar. You should get. Don't want to hear Brandon. Want to hear worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's see what the gospel music is all about. Yeah. For some reason, this computer. Oh, Father, we thank you. You make crooked places straight and rough places plain in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's see. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise your holy name. We praise your holy name, Jesus. We ask you to have your way in this service this morning. Lord, have your way. It's all about you, Jesus. There's no one compares to you, Jesus. And as you have moved this morning, Jesus, you will have our being. Oh, God, your presence is all we desire this morning. Your presence is all we seek this morning, Lord. We seek your presence, Father. We ask you to strengthen the Fraser's family, Lord. Comfort them, O Lord, as they go through this time of loss in their relative. Oh, we ask you to give Deacon Fraser strength, and Lord, peace It's not hard to lose a family member, regardless of who, what part of the family they are. Brother, sister, uncle, or brother, cousin, niece, nephew, is still a family. We grieve when we lose a family. Yes, Lord. I lost my pastor and I grieve for him. He was a great man of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Every side of the angel, Glory, glory, glory. on my mind. I can see the age. And I can hear the song of heaven. Oh, I can see the river flowing down to the valley below. It's turning the things that were once dead into bright colors. What a majestic sight to see the dead come to life. Oh, what joy it must be had. Oh, fill me all the way.
Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. So much is going on. But we thank the Lord. We were on the phone praying with some people this morning early. So much is going on. We have to really, truly stand together as a body of believers.
Amen.
The enemy is out to destroy the church. Well, you know he can't, but that's his agenda. Yeah. And glory to God, the church got to do a better job of interceding. You know, and the church has to get a target. The church has to have a target. The target is not each other. The target is Satan and his agents. And we're missing that picture. You know, but Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Lord, we thank you for this man of God and this woman of God that are about to break bread of heaven. Fill us, O God, this morning. We pray for the bread to come and just be before us on this holy table that we sit before, that we can feast on the bread of life. Yes. And Lord, we just pray that you touch their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay, that they might see and hear and speak that which says the Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we ask that not only touch them, but touch the people that are coming on the line even right now, and those that are listening by way of computers or cell phones, however they're listening, internet system. Lord, we ask that you help them to break up the fallow ground as they wait upon you, as you rain righteousness upon all of us. Father, we pray for Brother Deacon Fraser. He has lost a cousin. And Lord, we ask that you strengthen not only him, but all the family members that are grieving right now. And Father, give him the courage to know that you have wrapped your arms around that cousin that has left this world. Let him know in his heart that they no longer have pain, they no longer have sickness in their body, they no longer have sorrow, they no longer lacking anything. Because you have taken care of that. And Father, now we turn over this line, over this church, teaching and preaching over to apostle and bishop, that they would come in, O God, and that their hearts are ready. Their hearts are overflowing with the joy of the Lord to deliver what thus says the Lord in the awesome, mighty name of Yahushua. Come on in. Come on in. Bishop and Apostle, let the Lord use you both.
Thank God. Thank God, thank God.
Yes, thank God, yes.
Praises unto Yahweh. We praise him regardless of what's going on, and we thank him regardless to all that's going on and all that the devil is doing in the world. We still say thank you, Jesus, and praise the Lord that we are able to be here.
Yes.
Amen. Able to come and break bread. Only by his grace that we're able to do that. Amen. And we are grateful for all that he has already done today. He has given us the mercy that endure forever, new mercy every morning. And he pours out on us as our shepherd, so that we do not want. Hallelujah. And he's meeting every need of every believer. Sometimes it may look like God is, you know, that God is not moving, but he's moving. God is moving all the time. He's a very busy God. Amen. And he's moving on our behalf. And no matter how much evil we have in this earth, there's so much more good than evil. Because we have our Almighty God, our Jehovah, that is always there, present everywhere. He does not miss a beat. He does not miss anything. He knows it all. He sees it all. and he's all powerful. So let's get into the word. We greet you all with love, and we are grateful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great high priest, sovereign Lord of this universe, our King of Kings and our Lord of Glory. We are grateful for him, and we can't give him enough thanks and praise and worship. We are also grateful for our overseer and for Apostle Calendar, for all that Apostle Calendar does for the kingdom, how he has become a living sacrifice through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And we thank God that we are all able to be overcomers even through our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank God for him and his family, and we are so grateful to be in the company of believers who are really believers and who really does love the Lord. Hallelujah. So thank God we have love among us. And Apostle, you just said that we have to, basically what you were saying is that we have to stay united. We have to stay united so that we can be more help to others. Amen. We can do so much more when we are united. We can make more of an impact when we are united all together, as we are supposed to all be one body. There are many members, but one body is supposed to be one in Jesus Christ. One body, one Jesus Christ, one body, one church. Amen. And as we all come together, we can do so much more for those who are in need, for the lost souls, for those who need direction, for those who need to come out of whatever it is, like, you know, being delivered from whatever the strongholds are, whatever the yokes are. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But God is the yoke destroyer. But we need to know that we too must do our part. Amen. So this morning we have this topic that the Lord has given us to bring this message today, and it is the gospel of the cross. The gospel of the cross. We will be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 15, and we will go to other scriptures as well. Amen. So just to give you a little bit of an introduction to Colossians, it's a very good teaching book. All of it is for leaders and for believers. We have to know this word of God. We have to know Jesus. When we know Jesus, we'll know the word. Amen. And we'll get more revelation as we go, and more understanding and more wisdom as we go along in our walk. So let me begin here. I pray that you all will be blessed by the hearing of the word of God. So let's put our minds into it. Amen. Let us do that. So as we looked into this book, we can clearly see that this book is especially helpful to leaders. Paul was a leader, a great leader in the church. Now, Paul wrote this book in response to heresy, just like what we have going on right now in the church. There's still heresy going on. There's still false teachers. Hallelujah. We still have all of this going on in the church. And so God, again, is saying to us, be careful. This is a warning. Be careful, because there are false teachers who's teaching the false doctrine. So so back then, in the book of Colossians, with the people of Colossians, there were false teachers who were making their way through the church, indoctrinating believers with a combination of the Jewish and the Hellenistic beliefs that troubled and confused the new Christians. So Paul steps in, and we can even say Jesus, because Paul followed Jesus, stepped in to rescue the church from these cultic leaders, from this cultic doctrine, to restore the believers to remembering that that knowing God is all we need, is to know God. We got to be in the business of knowing God, believing God, by faith, and making it known to the people, making our beliefs, the beliefs that's been taught to us or being taught to us, making it known to new believers and pointing souls to Christ Jesus. And so, excuse me, Paul is not afraid to speak up. You will see that as we go along. He does not hold back from addressing trouble and making tough calls, bringing correction. And this is the same way we have to be. We got to make the tough calls. We have to know how to say no. We have to be able to see what's going on, and that is through the Spirit. And the only way for that to happen is for us to be tuned in, have our ears tuned in, have our minds stayed on Jesus Christ so that we can know what's going on, because God will let us know. Amen. So we're supposed to be like Paul. We are not to hold back when we see something wrong, when we see something that needs correction. We need to address it. And also, when we see the good things going on, when we see people who are dedicated, people who are doing their jobs, leaders that are great at doing their jobs because they're following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and they know what the benefits are of the cross, amen. They know what benefits we have as a result of what Jesus did on the cross. So Paul's love for people and our love for people still, Paul's love for people does not cause him to become a people pleaser, or does not cause him to become afraid of speaking the truth, because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. It's better to speak the truth than allow our brothers and sisters to damage their lives, to continue to walk in a way that is not of God, and they could lose their soul, you see. And when we don't speak up, and cause one of our brothers and sisters to stumble or to lose their souls, then that blood will be on our hands. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly states that that blood will be on our hands if we don't speak up. And when we have those opportunities to speak up, when we have the opportunity to bring correction, we have the opportunity to do what's right at that particular time, always working in righteousness. We have to say what is right regardless of how much we love people. And this is the message, the deep part of this message that the writer Paul and the teacher Paul is trying to convey through Jesus Christ. We've got to step up to the plate and do the work. Amen. So it says too that Paul is saying that he wants the best for the people. We want the best. We want them to know Jesus so that they can always have the best. We have the best no matter what we've gone through, because we have Jesus Christ, and everything about Jesus Christ is excellent. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of history before we go into the book, and it kind of gives us a better understanding of where Paul is in his teaching. Hallelujah. Also, he wants the best for them, and what he's saying to us is that we must be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Yes, we want to love people. Yes, we want to do good for people. But when we see what's going on wrong, we have to address it. And not only that, we have to teach this sound doctrine. We cannot teach some other doctrine so people will be pleased, because they want to hear the message they want to hear, and we want to please them. No, no, no. We have to do it the way God says to do it. We have to teach it the way it is in this word, and only teach what's in this word. So Paul teaches this standard for excellence. Amen. And he speaks to the people repeatedly about false leaders. Hallelujah. And he teaches that Jesus is not only a wonderful Savior, but he's the preeminent Lord, creator, and master of everything. is, in fact, our all in all. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 tells us that. So Paul's description of Jesus is excellent. And we also say that he's our great high priest. He's our excellent teacher. He's an excellent mediator. He's an excellent intercessor. Amen. Everything about Jesus is excellent. Everything he did when he walked in this earth is excellent. Everything he's doing right now is excellent. He does not deviate at all. God is God, and he remains the same all the time. And so he's expressing this to the believers that we must follow through with our faith, follow in order to prevent, in the future, this heretic teaching, this heresy that's going on, and allowing these people to come in, these non-believers to come in and teach the doctrine that is not of God. So this is what Paul is doing. He's watching. We're supposed to be on the watch as well. Glory be to God, in the church, in our homes, whatever concerns us, we must be the watchers. Amen. We must know what's going on, and the Lord will allow us to do that. I know. Somebody's at the door. Come here. Let me put the phone on you. That's the repairman. He had to pick up something for the chair. Hold on. Okay, I have her. She gets excited when people. That's just knowing somebody's at the door, that's for sure. Amen. So let's get into it. Hallelujah. We are excited and delighted today to get into this word. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. In the second chapter, Paul is urging the believers to continue to grow in Christ, just as they have been rooted and grounded in him, to continue to grow in him. And I'll say this here, maturity, growing up, when we're growing up, as we grow, we learn, hallelujah, we're supposed to learn, it's very important. And as we learn the ways of God, then we will know how to handle every situation through his wisdom. Every kind of situation or every challenge that comes our way, God will lead us and guide us as to how to handle it. Amen. So I will say here that maturity is a process. It's a process. Growing in God is a process. Growing in anything that is worthwhile is a process. And even growing in bad habits is also a process. When we begin to do some things that's bad, it just gets worse as it goes on. The more we do it, the worse it gets. The more we do what's right, the better it gets. Amen? So maturity is a process. It's not an event. It's not an event. It's not just something that happens every now and then. Amen? We grow as we go, doing the things that is right. And that's what the work of the cross is all about, righteousness. Amen? Glory be to God. Because unrighteous leaders will always cause poison. It'll poison the body of Christ. Amen? Unrighteous people who claim to be righteous, claim to be in the Lord, claim to be doing the work of the Father and not doing it, my God, it only causes people to be injected with poison. That poison is sin, amen, and it's very, very dangerous for the church, and we see it in the church today. So we're not just talking about what's happening, what happened back then, but we're talking about what's actually still happening right now. There are false teachers still among us, among God's church, amen, among the people. Glory be to God.
So if we want to do an excellent job, then we have to do it exactly the way it needs to be done. There's not going to be perfection with us, but there is perfection in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So excellence is not an accident. It happens when leaders call for it. It happens when we as a people call for excellence. And when we do an excellent job, God is pleased. Amen. So leadership begins on the inside. It starts with being and not doing. It starts with being holy as he is holy and not just doing. Amen. Glory be to God. But when we know that we're walking in holiness, walking by faith and not by sight, then we know we're doing the right thing, and we know that we're growing. We're growing in our faith. We're growing in maturity. Glory be to God, and it's so great. Hallelujah. So in book 2 of Colossians, hallelujah, we're talking about growth, and that growth is not just, and it's just not something that just happens. It's a process. Amen. And this is what Paul is conveying to the believers in Colossians, in this book of Colossians. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go. We're going to be reading from chapter 2 of Colossians 1 through 15. Hallelujah. Let me, I'm going to turn there and read for you. Amen. And read along with me, if you will, with chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 through 15. 1 through 17.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. So sorry to hear about your loss, and we will be praying for your family, for you and your family. Also, God answered prayer this morning. He answers prayers every day. Our sister, Apostle Millie's daughter, went through surgery this morning, and we prayed, and God answered our prayer. She came out of surgery just fine. She's now in recovery. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
We thank God for answered. It was a very dangerous surgery because it was in her neck. She had some impaired nerves in her neck from a car accident that she was in. And they had to go in her neck. So that's a very, all surgery is dangerous, but that was extremely dangerous going in there around that carotid artery. So let's start here. A verse 1. He says, Paul says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. I want them to know I'm working real hard for you guys. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. See that? United. Apostle mentioned us being united before we started the message. He says, I want to encourage you in heart and be united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Excuse me. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. And when he speaks of circumcision here, it's not an outward circumcision, but it is an inward circumcision where your heart has been circumcised. So verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So it symbolizes this scripture symbolizes us coming from death into life, from death. That's what the resurrection of the cross did. It gives us that opportunity. It gives us that gift of life where we are now being transformed. Hallelujah. We are now raising up. We've been raised up from the dead, and now we are alive in Christ. Amen. Raised from the dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not a walking dead person anymore. Thank God we're not walking dead folks like zombies. My God. So now we're in verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers, this is so good, disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So that brought us to our topic, the message, the gospel of the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's expound on it a little bit. We're going to delve into it and see what the Holy Spirit will give us. Hallelujah. More. Let's get into it a little bit more. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're so grateful, Father. Hallelujah, for all you have done. So, I want to say here that, well, I'm going to say here, that we as a people have a tendency to have some type of amnesia. Y'all know what amnesia is, where we just totally forget. It's so sad because amnesia can make you forget all about yourself. It's a problem in the mind where you don't have any recall. And as Christians, we have to have that recall. And so some of us, and as we look at where the church is, it seems that there is some amnesia. It's called convenient amnesia, where we just conveniently don't remember some things because we need to do it our way. But it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Amnesia is a terrible sickness because it makes you lose the essence of who you are. It really does. Because you don't remember. You forget important events and important things that's needed for your life, and then you really need some serious help because you can't remember from 1 minute to the next, and some things have been totally wiped out of your mind. It's very, very sad. And here's what the devil does is he wants to wipe out of us, wipe out of our minds by deception what we already have learned, what we already know. And when that happens, when we follow we're following the way of unrighteousness, we're not remembering the things we once knew. And sooner or later, we're not gonna follow Christ at all. We're just gonna completely walk away. So amnesia, it seems that way because of the fact of the matter is when you see people talking, moving in a different direction from righteousness, and they once claim to know righteousness, claim to be a Christian, but yet we see the walk is different, yet we see all the chaos and the heresy that's in the church still, we see that then there is some forgetfulness, much forgetfulness, but it is done by choice. Amen. It's done by choice because we chose to follow the enemy and not the Lord. Amen. We choose to just forget about it. It's going to be all right because I'm going to be forgiven anyway. But that's not how it works with God. Amen. God does forgive sins, but when we continue to do it over and over again, God is going to address it, and there is going to be some judgment, and there is going to be some chastisement. So let's go on. It said, you know, have you ever been around someone who has this amnesia? I've seen it. And most of the time it happens with young people too, but it happens a lot with older people. But when it happens in the church, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous at any time because, you know, just to give you an example, and it's a simple analogy, you have to really watch people who have this, they call it Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's to me is a whole lot like, it's like amnesia, but it's worse because it's forgotten completely. There's some noise in the phone and pop up. You all still there?
You're in there.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thought it was the weather here. We've been having a lot of rain and wind. Amen.
Was Deacon's phone that was messing up?
Amen.
So I have to, when I mute his phone, it went out.
Oh, I see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get back. As a whole, Apostle, what we see here, and everyone on the line, is a lot of memory loss when it comes to the church. We have forgotten much of what the cross, the work of the cross, and what Jesus has done and shed his blood for. We have been deceived. And we are not remembering. We are not walking by faith in God like we should. And when I say we, I mean collectively. I mean what's going on in the church. Not all churches, because we have some that are some ministers and pastors and people of God who are sold out. And we're so grateful for you all. We're so grateful for those that are standing and doing all to stand on the word of God and have become overcomers even by our faith or through our faith. So there's a lot of dysfunction. You know, there's dysfunction in families. There's dysfunction in the church as well. There's dysfunction in leadership. So what I mean when I say that there is so much dysfunction, and when you can look at it as, look at what's going on in the church as people who have just forgotten the way. We just choose, it's very selective. We just choose to have this amnesia. We choose to forget about the work of the cross. We're no longer working our faith. Hallelujah. We're no longer walking by faith and not by sight, and we're allowing others to come in and dictate to us their doctrine, their cultic, that cultic doctrine that we see so much in many churches that claim to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's major deception. So in the gospel sense, what does this mean? This is what I believe it means. And this is what I'm hearing. I believe it means that on a Sunday, we celebrate on Sunday the truths that are nowhere near what goes on during the weekday. So we go and celebrate on Sunday. We do our dance. We get our praise on, like they say this phrase, I'm getting my praise on. But we are so distant from the Lord and from the ways of God during the weekday. It seems like we have forgotten by choice during the week how to live by faith, how to walk by faith. Because we're not doing it, we get that selective amnesia. You know, with amnesia too, one minute you might know where you are, what you're doing, or trying to remember something, and the next minute you don't. So, but I call it selective. This is selective amnesia. I'm just going to choose to not do this, what I'm supposed to be doing, in reference to the Word of God. So it really is this thing that Paul speaks about in the passages that I just read. That being said, and what Paul is saying, don't you understand that the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ is what our message is what our topic is, the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the acceptance, the gospel of the provision, the gospel of the promises of Jesus Christ is not just for us to make our entrance into faith. We make our entrance into faith when we first receive our Lord, when we first knew salvation. We got baptized. Hallelujah. But it is meant to be a lifestyle of your faith. And it is only by the means of grace of the cross of Jesus Christ that we are given acceptance with God. So Paul says, don't stop there. When you make your entrance, you make your way and start following in the ways of God, don't stop. Continue. Don't follow false doctrine. Don't start believing something other than what we have been taught in the Word of God, because it can happen, and it comes by deception from the enemy. Paul says, don't you stop. Right here today, we're saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praising. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop thanking the Lord. Don't stop giving to the church. Don't stop all of the things that faith causes us to do in the Lord. So in the same way, my God, that we receive Christ, we know that we need grace. But we must stay thankful for that grace and live
in the way that we've been taught to live. Live by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. We are supposed to live out the gospel. Live it out. Keep running. Keep running after Jesus, staying on the path of righteousness. So it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to give us the way to live. Give us the way to live in our marriage. When you live in your marriage and you live righteously in your marriage, then you're going to have a good marriage. And it's not just because you trust your husband or just because you trust your wife, but because you trust Christ. You're walking in righteousness because you trust Christ, because you know that as we follow the Lord, that everything we do, that he will be with us in everything we do. That's what I should say. So we've been given. So we live out the gospel of the cross. The cross witnessed to us. Hallelujah. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, it witnessed. We know he hung on the cross. We know he shed his blood. And we know why he shed his blood, because we were the ones that had a debt to pay, that debt of sin. So because he did that, when we follow in the ways of Jesus Christ, we follow in the ways of righteousness, because he made it right. We became the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we do it because we trust him. Just like you would trust your husband, trust your wife, we got to trust God, because God is all about righteousness. Amen. And as we trust God, we're going to walk in righteousness. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm saying it again. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what's going on, what Jesus has done, the work on when he did the work of the cross, when he followed through on everything the Father said, followed through, crucified, died, was buried, and rose on the third day, he rose for our victory. So we have to remember that we have victory, and remember that no matter what the devil is saying to us, that we will not be deceived, because we're walking by faith and not by sight. We know that Jesus Christ is with us always, no matter what the enemy is saying or what he's trying to do. We literally understand what we've been given through the work of the cross. Hallelujah. Through the gospel of the cross. The gospel message. Hallelujah. And we thank God for it. So we live out of the gospel in our marriage. We have to live out of the gospel in our parenting. Hallelujah. The way that we parent, we must parent righteously. Hallelujah. Not just because I became a mother or I became a father. Parenting is about raising your children in the admonition of our Lord. Hallelujah. Parenting is about doing what's right. Amen. It's about the righteousness of God. And when we raise our children in the admonition of God, then they will not err from their way. And they're going to remember, even if they be a little wayward or they get into different things, they're always going to be remember what they've been taught. Amen. We have done our job. That's the main important thing. As parents, we have done our job. So thank God. And we say to parents today, glory be to God. We know it's a tough job. It's a tough job, been there, especially with the teenagers. My God, but God will help us to raise our children. He'll help us in every area of our lives. He'll give you that wisdom, give you that understanding how to parent our children. Amen. How to do everything in our lives that's pleasing to God and not wanting to have that mindset that I got to please everybody. Because let me tell you, and I know y'all know, we're never going to please everybody. You're not going to please all people. Some people will be pleased and some won't. You can't please all the people all the time, and very few some of the time. But that should not be our focus. Our focus needs to be on God and what God said and how he said to live. So if we parent our children in the way they're supposed to be parented, in a godly way, sure, our job is not going to be easy. No, it won't, especially because our children are under the sway of the devil. The deception is extremely high. Hallelujah. Even among the peers, you know, they got peer pressure. They got a whole lot going on. You got kids that's 11 years old smoking dope, getting into all kind of trouble. 8, 9, and 10-year-olds already smoking weed. Smoking weed, marijuana, whatever you want to call it. Hallelujah. So we thank God that when we know that we know that we know that we're doing it right by God, then we're going to do it right by people, whether it be parenting, whether it be on the job, whether it be in our careers, or whether it be in the church, wherever it is, we are going to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight, and we are going to know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ leading the way. Amen. If we follow his lead, we're going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's all right in Jesus Christ. I always say it is well in Jesus. It is well in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it is the gospel that motivates us and directs us even in our ways, all of our ways. Amen. Glory be to God. So the way we respond, how do we respond to this material world? The way we respond to the material world rises up in us through the gospel, through the message of the cross that says to us, you have been now made the righteousness of God. I have now suffered for everything that you could ever go through in this life. So when we see and hear the message, the gospel of the cross, and keep that in our mind, what Jesus did for us, then we will continue to be obedient when we don't deviate from the gospel. Hallelujah. When we're not deviating from the message. Glory be to God. It's the gospel that gives us our values. It's the gospel that protects us from asking the material world to do for us what it can possibly cannot do. It's the gospel that gives us the relationships, good relationships with our neighbors, with our friends. It's the gospel of the cross. Hallelujah. Because we learn through Jesus' suffering that we can live a righteous life. It's the gospel of the cross that forms and directs the way we live our private lives. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. You see, you face those private moments in the world, in your world, in our world. The way that we interact with others, the way we interact, the way we look at entertainment, the way we react to everything that goes on, we are going to react in a way that is righteous if we're following in the righteousness of God. Amen. Or we're going to have that selective amnesia that tells us that we are not supposed to do a certain thing. I call it selective. I'm just going to forget about that. I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to do this right now. And in the end, it's going to be all right because God is going to forgive me. That's not the way. That's the way we get in trouble with God. So we got to remember, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Hallelujah. that we have to follow, the gospel of the cross, what Jesus taught us when he suffered. Hallelujah. It's the gospel message, the message of the cross, that I have now been made the righteousness of God, the message of the cross that says, I'm your intercessor. When you need help, I'm going to help you. That's the message. Hallelujah. I died for you. I was buried. I rose on the third day for your victory. I'm there for you. I'm there for you all the time. I was on that cross for you, and I'm still there for you. Hallelujah. I am your propitiation. I am all in all. You're all in all. I am that I am. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of the cross. Hallelujah. It's the same message of the grace of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us into a relationship with God. That's what this scripture was relating to that I read. It brought us into this relationship with God, and now it is the tracks on which we run. Now it becomes the tracks on which our life is run on, in which we run. And like I said in our last message, it's a marathon, this run. Hallelujah. We got to keep running for Christ. We got to keep running to Christ and for Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. It's supposed to be our life. Hallelujah. We got to do the run. We got to run that marathon. Hallelujah. We got to run until we get to the finish line. It's a race. Glory be to God. It's a race. Okay. All right. All right, Missy. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Paul was teaching them, don't listen to this heresy. Don't listen to this cultic way of preaching and teaching. There's only supposed to be one way, the way of the cross. The way of the Lord. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Some people might say, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it means to live this message, to live the gospel of the cross. I'm not really sure what that means. And I think there are many of us, many people today, that need a recall, some recall therapy, so that we can come out of our selective amnesia. We need to rediscover the truth of the Bible, the truth of the gospel. Not that we need to be saved again, not that, but that our lives need to be once again directed by the truth of the gospel. So Paul is giving us a warning here. He has a concern here. He said, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of this world, and not according to Christ. He's very concerned, and this is a warning. Now, as he said that, he's saying you have to live the gospel of the cross. Paul says this, you have got to understand that there is a war being fought on your turf. On your turf, your spiritual life. There's a war being fought. They want to take away your heart or for you never to give your heart to God, for your heart never to be circumcised. Hallelujah. Apostle, can you hear us? Because the weather is really pretty windy over here. I don't know. The phone kicks in and out sometimes when the weather is acting up.
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Praise God. Thank you. So you might say, see what you're saying, Apostle, in this, what you're saying here. Some people may not see it, but we have a war. It's a war going on. And the devil has come into the church to do his business. He's been doing it. It's nothing new. And we have to be aware of this spiritual war. See to it, he says, that no one takes you captive. That's war language, isn't it? That's the language of war. So Paul is saying that there is a battle for the rulership of your heart. He want to steal your heart away from Jesus Christ. He's saying, I want to steal you away. I want to steal you away from righteousness so you can follow me. But he does it in such a cunning way that we don't realize happening until next thing you know, we have fallen. Or we've fallen by the wayside. We've gone outside of the way of righteousness, and we've forgotten all about what we've learned. We've forgotten all about how to do the things we need to do in a way that pleases God and not to please the dictates of men. Hallelujah. So there's this battle. So will your heart be ruled by the truth of the gospel that will shape your life and motivate you to do what's right, motivate you to be all that God says you can be, that will direct you in your behavior, that will guard your mind, hallelujah, as you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, that's going to guard your thoughts, that will give you the hope and the courage that you need, that we need. What are we going to do? Or is our practical way of thinking, our practical life is actually going to direct us by what? Without God, it's going to direct us by the philosophies, by the dictates of the world. That's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get that. Now I think that they talk about focus all the time. Lord, help us to stay focused, God. Help us to stay focused on your will, that your will be done in our lives, God. We need your will to be done. And as we say on this line all the time, we got to plead the blood of Jesus. We got to remember the blood. Oh, we got to remember the blood he shed for our victory, shed to keep us free. Amen. We talked about our freedom last time. We talked about what Jesus has already done, what he has done, what he done on Calvary, what he done when he carried that cross. My God, hallelujah. So we have the gospel of the cross. Hallelujah. We have the message of the cross. And as we look to Jesus, we see what he has done. He's already done what needed to be done for us to know how to work out our salvation. Hallelujah. So now I think that the very gospel that we celebrate, that we have embraced, many of us for so long, you got some people that are walking away from that. Hallelujah. They're walking away because the devil has stepped in. He has stepped in to do his dirty, filthy, lying work. He lies, lies, lies. There's no truth in the devil at all. So our living is formed by around us. Amen. What's going on around us? Are we hanging around with the wrong type of people? Are we doing the wrong things? Are we gravitating to the wrong kind of situation that'll get us in trouble? Or are we gravitating towards the things of the Lord? Are we gravitating towards being there for the Lord, doing kingdom business, doing the fellowship, doing the intercession, doing all that we're supposed to do with the help of the Lord by the grace of God? That's the only way we can do it anyway. Are we doing that? My God. So now that we're here, we see what Paul is saying. Paul is saying there is selective forgetfulness, selective amnesia. I see it, because these people come in and they begin to teach something other than what we've been taught, and some of us fall for it. it sounds good to us. You know why? Because many people just want to do that anyway. Many people just want to walk their way anyway, want to hear what they want to hear and not necessarily hear the truth. We want to hear, you know, some people can't handle the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear the correction. We want to do what we want to do. And we say it all the time, but it's got to be the way of God. Hallelujah. So now that Paul is there, he's saying to them, I have come. He wasn't there because he was in prison when he wrote this letter. That's where Paul was. Paul is not arguing that the thinkers of our world have nothing to offer. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying at all. What he is saying is this. You've got to hear. You've got to hear what the Lord is saying. You've got to hear what God is saying so that we can think what is right in terms of the Word of God. At the philosophy, he's saying that the philosophy of the world has no ability whatsoever to deliver the one thing that we all need. Here it is, redemption. Only our Holy Redeemer can give us redemption. Paul says it this way. This is not very comforting. Or it's not going to, you know, he didn't mean for it to compliment them. That this philosophy is empty deceit. This philosophy that they were teaching is empty deceit. It's hollow and it's deceptive. This philosophy looks so attractive because it's deceitful. It only looks that way. Maybe it's a movie. Maybe it's the music. Maybe it's the people and how we do things. Could be that television program that you watch every week. It could have been a blog that is so well written. It could be these magazines and these porno magazines that we look at. Or just any kind of, it could be Beautiful House magazine, and we get so focused, and all we want to do is look in these magazines. It could be a tweet. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't have anything to do with looking at the birds or looking at the beautiful flowers and the beautiful trees. No. It's nothing wrong with looking into scientific matters as long as we know that it's not the scientific methods that saved us. It's not the scientific creations and the minds of men, the masterminds. Some of them have these minds, they're geniuses, and they create things. You know, Paul is not talking about that, but we're not supposed to think that we're smarter than God, that we know more than God. It's all right because some people have a genius mind. Some people are very creative, you know, and all of that. And God doesn't have a problem with that. He is the creator, and we should be creative in our gifts that he's given us. But what he's saying that, watch what we look at, watch what we do, and watch what we're listening to. Amen? Because the devil comes all kind of ways. He can come through the TV. He can come through music. He comes all different kinds of ways. He comes like a masquerade. He's masking something. He's masking it to make it look good. Amen? And it's not good. And the next thing you know, we fall for the lies. So this package that the devil want to give to us is well wrapped, is wrapped up. It's like a beautiful gift that somebody brings to you, and it's wrapped so beautifully. It got the right paper, the right bows, the right card, and the card is saying exactly what you would love to hear. That person know you so well, glory be to God, and it got you down pat. You know, they got this beautiful card, and it says everything about you that they love about you. It's well wrapped. And what's inside of it is something that is not of God. what's inside of that package is something that is not of God. It's deception. It could be a beautiful gift that's being given to us, to a person who want to sway us or want to take us away from the things of God. We got to be careful about the gifts that we receive from other people. Amen? So, listen, I said this before, and I'll continue to say this. Our deepest, hardest time isn't your situation. It isn't where you live, not your location. It isn't the relationships. It's your sin. It's sin. Yeah, we're talking about sin again. Because that's what the trouble is. That's what the problem is. But when we follow the gospel of the cross, the message of the cross, when we follow the message of the gospel, when we follow it and do it 24/7, asking the Lord to help us, we'll be all right. It'll be well in our lives. So when, as we have read this, it's something so, I mean, it's so today. It's so right now. My God. God gives us what we need each and every day. And he wants us to work out his salvation so that we will please him. Our life should be about pleasing the Lord. He has given us so much already. And right now, we have Jesus at our side. Right now, Jesus is right here with us, willing to help us, show us the way, give us that guidance that we need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, as we can be there for others, as we can do good things for others, we can give good things. We give of ourselves. But are we giving our all in all to God, doing exactly what God says? My God, we can't have an empty Christian life. It's not empty. It's full of righteousness. It's full of mercy. It's full of grace. It's full of love. It's not empty. What God has given to us is full. We can have the fullness of God. All of this is of God when we follow in the way of the gospel of the cross. Jesus is the way. My God. We have so much that we love to do. Hallelujah. So many places we want to go. But do we want to do what God said to do first? Do we want to give the Lord our all in all first? It's all right. We go on vacations and we love to look at beautiful movies. There's nothing wrong with looking at a beautiful, clean movie. There's nothing wrong with reading a good novel. There's nothing wrong with reading the blog. Or, you know, it's good. But if that's all we're doing, there is still an emptiness. There's still a void. If that's all we're doing and we're not incorporating what God has said to do in our lives, like walking by your faith, hallelujah, and turning the TV off when you see things that's not right, turning the TV off when there's some horror. I mean, some people look at all of these things, and I tell you, it's nothing but murder, it's drugs, it's all the things that we don't need in our minds. I mean, we know murder is out there. Of course we do. But we don't have to look at the violence all the time, you know, because it's just evil. It's just nothing but evil. So we should look at wholesome, wholesome things. And when we have the gospel of the cross on our minds, that's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. We don't want to be empty. We want to have the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So all of the things that we like to do, like I just mentioned, cannot and will not bring redemption. It will not bring us peace of mind. It will not give us the love we need. It won't do any of the things that we really need from God that we can only get from God. That love that can't be taken from us. Whether we're right, doing right or wrong, God still loves us. Hallelujah. So the problem with the world's philosophy is not that it contains no kind of insight. The problem with the world's philosophy is that it does not have Christ in it. It totally leaves Christ out for our lives. Christ in the cross is what we ultimately need for our lives. Hallelujah. We cannot understand what's going on in the world without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot understand our identity without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot understand the purpose of our lives without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot understand what's wrong with us without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot understand how it will be how our problems will be solved without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot have proper values without the cross of Jesus Christ. It's Christ, it's Christ, it's Christ. And Paul says, just as you've received Christ, live in him. Hallelujah. Live in him. So the gospel is not just our ticket into the kingdom. Oh, I got my ticket and I'm in now. My God. And then we wander off following all the philosophies and the ways that are in that are in the world, our humanness. No, 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 no. That is tragic. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that is. And I'm gonna say today, there's evidence that we see all the time in the church of today right now. There's evidence. Hallelujah. We have seen it, and I don't have to go to naming them all, but we have seen it. And those on this line, those of you on this line know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Some of us are in debt that doesn't speak gospel living. Some of us are in broken relationships that does not speak the gospel of the cross, the gospel of the cross living. Some of us are enslaved to those things that we shouldn't be doing, that we are a slave to, that does not point to the gospel of the cross, to the gospel of living in the ways of God, but it points to disasters, it points to tragedies, and it will not point anyone to Christ. Some of us are in depression, and we fear, we have fear that we're not supposed to have. We have that fear that doesn't say we're walking in the ways of God. We're not supposed to have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And people get depressed. That's of the devil. Oppression and depression is of the devil. It is not of God. Hallelujah. All of this anxiety and all of this stuff that he brings, frustration, aggravation, degradation, all of these things that the devil brings is not of God. He does it to the Christians. He tries to get us out of focus. My God. So maybe we have to reclaim your promises. Rededicate. First, we should rededicate our lives to God to reclaim our memory of all of what we already know and to learn more of what we need to know. Amen. Hallelujah. Reclaim it.
Reclaim the promises. Hallelujah. Reclaim what Jesus has done, made you free. Reclaim your freedom. Reclaim that. Get away from the ways of the world. Come out of the world. God said, come out from among them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about right now. Right now. You might say that was Paul back then, and that was going on in the book of Colossians. No, it's going on right now. It has never stopped, but it's worse than ever before. Hallelujah. The devil is doing more evil than he ever did before. Full of the future. And we now have the present benefits of the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, right now. We have all the benefits of the gospel of the cross, the message of the cross, right now. Hallelujah. So maybe you might be saying, I hear your words, lady. Apostle Linda, I hear your words, but I'm just not sure I could feel. I'm not sure if I could do what you're saying. I'm not sure of all that, what it means. Well, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, Paul points out the four things. Four things, and it'll help you to understand better. And we're going to point it out right now. This is a chapter that you could do. This chapter by itself, you can do a series. You can do a series on this for all the rest of the year or for a whole year. I mean, it's so much in this chapter. It's so much in the Word of God. You can do a series on almost every book of the Bible. Point you to four different things. Yes, four. He says, for I want to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged. Isn't that beautiful? He wants to encourage, to keep hope alive in the people. We need that encouragement from each other, being knit together in love, to reach all of the full riches, riches of a full assurance, riches of full understanding, riches of the knowledge of God's mysteries, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of them. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. He says, though I'm absent in the body, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order, and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Here's the first thing. It means to live out the gospel. In Christ, we have been given wisdom in place of the foolishness of sin. You don't celebrate the wisdom that is yours in Christ Jesus unless you first embrace the foolishness that's in your life. Recognize the foolishness that's in the life. You see, sin will always cause us to be foolish. It reduces us to foolishness. We think that we can argue in another human being's face and still have a good relationship. Did you hear me? That we could stand toe-to-toe with people and be angry and ready to fight and all of that and still have a good relationship. We think that we can mess with sin and we can control it. We think that it won't enslave us. We think that we can spend more money than we're making and it won't result in crippling our finances. We think that we can eat more than any human being, anybody else, eat more. Hallelujah. We think we could do that, eat more than we should ever eat and not carry that weight.
that one day it's going to be evident that we've been gluttonous somewhere, unless there's a medical reason. We think we can yell and speak all this vile, filthy language and have this anger and be in the face of your child and have him or her still respect you. We think we can do that. We really do. We think that we're smarter than God even. We got more smarts than God, that our way is better than his way. But he already told us, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. We got to look at the Most High God for all of our help, for all of our direction. All of our wisdom and understanding has to come from God. You see, the fool that is most dangerous to be foolish, the fool that is most dangerous to each one of us is the fool that is inside of us. Do you hear me? That fool that can be inside of people. And Paul is saying something very, very important. And I don't know if you caught it. I don't know if y'all caught it. It is this, that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our theology is just this radical. Are you radical for Christ today? That wisdom is not first an outline. It's not first a book. It's not first just theology. Wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. If you are God's child, your foolish life has been invaded. If you are a child of God, foolish life, help me, Holy Spirit, has been taken over by the one who is wisdom. And that's because there's not a day in your life where you don't need wisdom to protect you, wisdom to guide you, wisdom to rescue you. Oh, my God, Apostle, we need the wisdom of God. We need this understanding for our lives. So if you're God's child, you're going to rest. You're going to rest in the gospel of the cross. You're going to rest in Jesus Christ. And your rest is not the fact that you understand it all. You won't understand it all. Even inside of all of this glorious gospel, inside of this glorious scripture, there will be mysteries in your life. There will be answers that you don't have. There will be situations that you don't understand. I know because I've been living it for a while. Your rest is in the fact that wisdom has taken over life. Your story has changed. It's not a story of devastation. It's not a story of all the old things that you used to do. God has rewritten the script. He has changed your portrait. You're different now. But the wisdom of God will guide. The wisdom of God will direct. The wisdom of God will protect. The wisdom will provide. Wisdom is our hope. It keeps our hope alive. We have the wisdom. We're not doing foolish things anymore. We're not hanging around foolish people. We're not doing the fool's way anymore. So you get up in the morning and we say to ourselves, I don't know what's going on with my life. Some people don't know what's going on, and it drives them. You're being driven. Some people are being driven to craziness, driven to crime, driven to alcohol, driven to drugs, driven to all of this unrighteousness. But that's not the way to go. Let Christ drive you. Have a Christ-driven life. Hallelujah. And when you say that I love the Lord, do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? I love you, Lord. But yet we do everything that's opposite of what God has taught us. We are preaching the gospel, but are we doing? Some of us are preaching the doctrine. We're preaching the doctrine, but we're not doing it. We're not doing the doctrine, but we're preaching the doctrine. And some people are just teaching false doctrine, which is what Paul is saying in this particular chapter. So when we wake up in the morning, when we wake up every day, can we say, I know a little bit about what this day will bring, but wisdom knows all. And you can say, wisdom is in me. Say to yourself, I am wise. I have the wisdom of God living in me. I am wise. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. And wisdom is mine to have. I have wisdom. It's for me. Wisdom is with me. And I'm resting in the grace of wisdom. That's so beautiful. But Paul's not done here. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says in verse 9, let's look at, can you read it? Can you read verse 9? Verse 9. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read it for you. Verse 9. I'm sure you're there, but let me get there. I turned my page for a minute. Chapter 2, verse 9. Just kidding. I had went over to 1. That's what happened. Chapter 2, verse 9. Okay. Stay with me. I'm almost ready to close. Verse 9. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want the fullness of the deity. We want all that God will give us, all that we can handle. I always say, God, give me all that I can take, because we can't have it all at one time. God processes us, and we learn in stages, in phases. Amen. So there's a benefit of the work of Christ. It's power. Having the power for the inability of sin. So, sin, this is what, this, you know, I know y'all might be tired of hearing sin, but we got to talk about it. This is what we do, because we got to be prepared for when Jesus comes back, or prepared for the day when we take our last breath. Sin leaves us unable. Sin is going to leave us weak. Sin leaves us lame, with no ability to be what we are supposed to be and to do what we are supposed to do. And Paul says this thing. It's so wonderful what he says. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ in bodily form. Excuse me. Jesus was fully God and fully man. And then he draws from this analogy, and he says, likewise, you have been filled in him. So you might say, well, what is he talking about? He's saying he has now filled you right now. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're a son or daughter of God, he's saying right now I have filled you with my grace, by filling you with my presence. Hallelujah. That's, oh my God, filled us with his presence. You are now the temple that the God of glory and grace lives in. My God, you are the temple that this God of glory and grace lives in. We got to remember these things. That's the message of the cross. It means if you're God's child, it's impossible, y'all, it's impossible for us to be left to ourselves, because we have a Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. It's impossible for us to be left alone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. I am with you. It's impossible for us to ever be left to our own strength, because we have been filled by him, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And excuse my voice. Peter says it this way, that we have already been given everything we need for life and godliness. This is Apostle Peter. So we in the morning can say every day, God, I don't have insight for me today. I don't know what's going to happen today. But I know that you know. Lord, just help me to be what I'm supposed to be. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do today. Give me insight for today, Lord. Because I knew I wasn't called to be by myself. And I'm not by myself anymore. That gives God glory. He's saying to God, I need you, Lord. I need you for everything, God. Lord, oh God, I thank you, God, that I'm filled, that you have filled me with your power through the work of the cross, through the message of the glorious cross. And I'm going to move toward my friends, my husband, my wife. I'm going to move towards my children, and my neighbors in a loving way. Being the peacemaker, being the one that shows love, being the one that will point people to Christ. Lord, I know I don't have the ability to be the wisdom counselor, but Lord, through you, I'm able to give wise counsel. Lord, I don't know how to live without you, and I don't want to live without you. So lead me and guide me this day, oh God, so that I will please you every day of my life. But right here, right now, God, I need you right now. Hallelujah. And I know that I have the power today by your grace to live according to your will. I want to live in that power, Lord. I know, God, and I just know, God, that I don't have the strength. And this is how we talk to God. Lord, I know I don't have the strength to stand against what I have to stand against in my life, whatever comes my way. But I believe in your power. I'm not going to live in fear, because you have not given me that spirit of fear, but you've given me power, love, and a sound mind. I know in a world of temptation that those temptations at one time gripped me, and even now temptations come. But one time they were very attractive to me. But now I believe that I'm not left to my weakness all alone. I believe I'm not left to my so-called power that I thought I had. I believe, oh God, that you give me the power to say no, the power to resist the devil, Lord, that you'll deliver me from evil, from the temptations of the devil. For you are with me always. And I want to say no, God. I want to say no to sin. And I want to live in your power every day. Help me. I need you right now, God. So we must embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Embrace it with everything that we have in us. Glory be to God. Do the labor. We got to work. Help us to do the work, God. Help us to go the extra mile, Lord. Help us to just give our all in all, Father, because I want to please you. I want to live my life for you. So that power has been given to you. He has filled you with every good thing. Peter says every necessary thing for life and godliness. Hallelujah. So we have no excuse. God doesn't accept excuses. We have no excuses to keep falling for something, going back and falling for stuff that God delivered us from. So I ask you today, do you live in fear? Do we do things that we shouldn't do? Do we say yes when we should say no? When we say yes, do we really mean it when we say yes, God? Yes, God. Yes, God. I'll do it your way. Are you living the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. These are questions. We got to ask ourselves and examine ourselves all through life. Hallelujah. Here's the third thing. We're almost done. In him, you've been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead and who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's an amazing gospel mouthful. That is amazing. Hallelujah. Heaven forgiven us of all our trespasses, canceling the record of our debt. My God, I have to say it again. The debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands was set aside, nailing it to the cross. Awesome. Awesome. Gospel mouthful. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know everybody. I'm not talking to nobody in particular. This is the message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the message that we all have to gravitate towards, the messages of the cross, hallelujah, and what the cross has done for us, the message of the entire gospel, hallelujah. The record of our debt has been canceled. The thing that stood against us, for somebody that's not saved today, what is standing between you and God is sin. What is standing between your joy and your peace is sin. And it is canceled. The debt has already been paid. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, your sins was nailed to the Savior, to our Holy Redeemer. And he wants us to think about it. You can be free right now. Today, right now, you're free. When you say to the Lord, Jesus, I'm just going to try you. I've tried everything. I've tried it all, done just about everything, and pretty much I've broken all the laws because I sinned against you. So, Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross and paying my debt.
See, that's the message of the cross. He paid our debt of sin. Because we were in debt over our heads. We couldn't have never saved ourselves. You know, Jesus took your name to the cross. And under your name, I believe, was a list of every iniquity, every sin that we would ever commit. It's as if the picture that Paul is painting and writing is a list of charges, as if they were written on the body of Christ. And when the nails went through the hands of Jesus, our debt was canceled. That's the gospel that I believe in. I believe and I know that the debt of sin has been canceled. Amen? Glory be to God. And how sweet it is that we can be free right now. You will experience freedom when you accept Jesus today. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus. He gave his Son so we could be free. Amen? So he was nailed to the cross, to the person of the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus, and the debt was canceled. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. So that means that you don't have to live in guilt any longer. You don't have to walk in the dark hallways of sin, guilt, and shame any longer. I need not be fearful any longer, because anything that will ever be, anything that will ever be, that I'll ever be reminded of where sin is concerned, has already been covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can say today, I'm free. And it means that I've been liberated from all sin, free, because you are my Savior. Oh, that if you could just accept me, and he does. He does. Jesus will accept you today. He will accept you and free you from all iniquities and sin. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us all. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and what you've done on the cross. See, because there's so much idolatry, even idolatry will be wiped out, because then Jesus Christ will become your all in all, and you won't have a need to idolize thing else or anybody else. My God. So he'll be your Savior. He'll forgive you. He'll be your healer and your Messiah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our final thing is this, in verse 15. It says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Freedom from the slavery of addiction, of sin. It definitely is an addiction. Wisdom for the foolishness of sin. Power for the inability of sin. Forgiveness for the guilt of sin. And freedom from the slavery of sin. Now notice, don't miss this. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for freedom. So Paul is saying, the cross of Jesus Christ is triumphant. What he did was triumphant. The cross is your victory. The cross was God's idea. It was the moment where sin would be defeated, where God's anger would be satisfied, where atonement for sin would be made, where freedom would be purchased. All of that happened on the cross. Do you hear the gospel of the cross? Hallelujah. Excuse me. So the cross is literally God laughing at the enemy, mocking the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for every moment with you, God. So you have the victory if you will receive him today. The victory over sin and death and a place called hell. So my hope today is that the lost, anybody that's lost and never, anyone that's never received Jesus will receive him today, because you've been given the victory over sin. And that victory has already happened. The victory is already accomplished. And what you do is you live out the victory that you already have been given. Refuse to be defeated by that which Christ has already defeated. Refuse to do it. Refuse the battle. Just fight the battle, the good fight of faith. Amen? Fight the good fight of faith. That's the one. You got to go? Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we can live our everyday lives as if we're more expected. Hallelujah. We're expected to be victorious and not defeated. Amen. Glory be to God. So today, God will give you the courage to say what you need to say. Lord, I receive you in my life today. After what I've heard today, you paid my debt. Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to embrace the faith that you're giving me right now, God, to receive you. And I can say to the world, I'm done with you. I'm done with my old life. I'm sick of my old life. And I want the healing of salvation that I can only find in you, according to what this lady has just said. So run to him, brothers and sisters. It's not enough for us to believe the gospel past and for us to embrace the gospel for the future. Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live in him, and may the gospel of Jesus Christ be the tracks on which the most private moments of our lives run. We got to be on track, be on the track of righteousness. May we not just believe the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ, may we live it at the deepest level of desire. Most important level of thought, the deepest level of motivation, the deepest level of hope. May we live the gospel of the cross. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful truth of this message, the message of the gospel of the cross. Thank you that it reminded us once again of who we are and what we have been given, O God. May we live out the gospel of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ every day in every way. And we pray this for the healing of the church, God, the healing of your church. We pray this for the furtherance of your kingdom, for laborers to come and to work. Hallelujah. And we pray this for the praise of your glory. And Lord, we thank you for those that have been pointed to you, drawn by you, the Father, to Jesus Christ, to receive you as their Lord and Savior, to confess all of their sins with their mouth and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Sorry, Lord, that I sinned against you, and now I want to give my life to you. Hallelujah. And then we must be baptized. We talked about baptism in this message. We must be baptized where we go down in the water and come up. And as we go down, we come up to a new life. We go down, hallelujah, and come up. We rise. We rise. That's called resurrection power. Glory be to God. And then live your life for Christ. Find a good Bible teaching church that teaches sound doctrine. You can come to Bible, you can come to Blog Talk every day, or whatever church is in your area. But make sure they're teaching sound doctrine. Glory be to God, and make sure that they're baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Make sure you get baptized in His name. Hallelujah. And then you have a new script. You have new hope right here, right now. Amen. Jesus is with you, and his grace has already saved you. By grace, you were saved and raised from death. Amen. So we pray for you all the best. Your best life is yet to come. Even when you're walking with Jesus in this earth, it's good. It's very good. It's better than the life you had before, but your best life is when you leave this place and you get the promise of paradise handed to us as a gift from Jesus Christ. Truly a gift of love. Amen. The gift that he suffers for to give to us. And so we thank God for you. We thank God for you if you've given your life to Jesus today. We celebrate with you. We rejoice with you today because heaven is rejoicing also for every lost soul that comes to Jesus. And it's all about souls. Amen. This message is for souls. This message is for us to learn. Every message we teach on this line is for us to learn and to keep us in step with righteousness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for the love of God, for the love of God, we honor and respect every son and daughter of God. And we love everybody. Hallelujah. So we'll see you again. Hopefully you'll come back to visit. Blog Talk Radio is Church Line. This is a church without walls, amen, hallelujah. We don't have any walls that separate us from Jesus. We are the church, glory be to God, hallelujah. So I have to go now, hallelujah. There was so much more that could have been said, but the Holy Spirit has said what he wanted to say, amen, hallelujah. And that's all that matters, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Apostle, is back to you. Hallelujah. Call Apostle Calendar.
God bless you.
Brother Beth is on the line, so we're going to let her come on in and read.
I thought
y'all went offline. I was saying call Apostle Calendar. I was telling Siri to call you. I was saying call Apostle Calendar because I didn't hear you come in right away. Okay. Hallelujah.
Oh,
go ahead, my
God
friend.
Bless you, woman of God. Bless his holy name. I'm here tired. I'm here sleeping. I'm listening to you. I've been running. up and down to a lot of events. We got, you know, with the seniors and the car, giving me the car not working. Oh, Lord. Man, early this morning, I've been getting up 6 o'clock in the morning trying to go to these different mechanics. This last one telling me $4,000. I say, give me the car back. I'll go buy one. I mean, he telling me I must go buy one. I say, if I had the money, yes, I will. But I don't have it. Somebody can fix it. Glory be to God. God bless you. Blessing to everybody on the line. I'm tired. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
Yes.
Matthew 5 and 6. Let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing us a helmet, the confidence of our salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. Let's come near God with pure heart and a confidence that come from having faith. Hebrews 10 and 22. Now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. Hebrews 7 and 19. I thank and praise you, God, of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. Daniel 2 and 23. He pours strength to the weary and increased the power of the weak. Isaiah 40 and 29. God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Isaiah 12 and 2. You remain faithful in every generation, and the earth you create will keep standing firm. Psalms 119 and 90. May God and his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Oh, there's the Lord. Oh.
Thank you so much, Mother Grant, for that reading. Glory to God. And bless God here. He's going to make a way for you. I tell you, no lie, he's going to make a way for you to get that car fixed. Believe me. He's going to give you the right mechanic that's not going to charge you a whole lot of money. And you're even able to pay in installments. Watch and see God do it for you. We just thank God. Father, I praise you and I glorify your name. I honor you, Jesus, for what you have allowed this woman of God, man of God, to deliver on today. What a great mystery of this word that we have heard today. We ask you, O God, to bless her, bless Bishop, strengthen them both, heal them both in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we continue to give you glory and honor and praise for the way you're using them. In Jesus' holy name. One of the things that I was listening to you as you was doing your monologue, I wrote this piece quick, fast. Paul was a great encourager. Paul was a great encourager to the believers.
Yes.
Especially to the young Christians.
Yes.
And I wrote this, I said, as leaders, we will face persecution like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to be anything easy as a minister of the gospel unless you are compromising the gospel. If you are compromising the gospel, it will be easy because you will fit right in with the satanic
agenda.
Understand?
Paul, he has struggled on behalf of the believers. The Bible tells you that. Even though he was absent from them, he wanted them to remain strong as they mature.
Hallelujah.
As they mature in Christ. We must be aware of what we're listening to and make sure that it lines up with what we have heard of the gospel of the cross, of these 66 books. Everything that we need has been set in motion for us by Jesus Christ at the cross. Everything has been set for us. It's been set in motion. This is when we believe in Christ. He told you that in the chapter there. He told you there in the chapter. Let me pull my Bible up so I can remember, because I was looking at that verse that Mother Grant was reading from Daniel chapter 2 and 23, and that lines up with the scripture. You say, I thank and praise God, the God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we ask. You have told me what we ask of you, and revealed to us what the king demanded. Oh Lord, God is so awesome. He always gives you a posse. That's all that landed with the word.
Yes,
so perfect. God gives you what you require from him. This
is
the verse that I was leading to. Here, when you say that everything I said here, that everything that we need is already, I said it this way, I said everything that we need has been set in motion for us by Jesus Christ at the cross. And you said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him. That means that everything that we need in him is in us. It's all already in him, is in us. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Glory to God. Is the head of the principality and power. God is, Jesus is head over every entity, he's the head over Satan and all the Satan agents. He's the head.
Amen.
Understand? No one is over him. He's ahead even of Satan. Listen. And once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have access to the fullness of who he is.
Amen.
The fullness of who he is. He is the Father, Son, he's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory. The message of the cross is bigger or greater than we can comprehend.
Yes, Lord.
It's about the message of the cross. Is about giving of yourself.
Yes, Lord.
It's about receiving what Jesus has prepared for us.
Yes,
it's about salvation. It's about change. It's about newness of life, eternal life.
Hallelujah.
To be put. It's about part of the bride of Christ. This is the message of the cross. The message of the cross gives us hope. It gives us wisdom, knowledge. We get understanding when we understand what the message of the cross is all about.
Yes,
when you are in Christ, the wisdom of Christ, I like this, Pastor, I wrote it this way. When you are in Christ, or you said a Christian, what I said, when you are in Christ, the wisdom of Christ erases all foolishness.
Yes, it does.
It erases all foolishness.
Yes.
The moment that you begin, you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you begin to study the instructions that he gave you to study, all foolishness makes no more sense. Do you hear what I'm saying? All foolishness no longer makes sense. Because why? You're taking on the wisdom of God.
Yes, Lord. He's with us. Hallelujah.
You're taking on the wisdom of God. And a lot of people, when you see people that claim to be Christians and they're still going backward, it's because they have not accepted the cross. They have not accepted the finished work of the cross.
they're still weary. They're still going back and forth, slipping and dipping. But once we accept the cross, the fullness of what has been done on the cross, something happened in us. I call it a spiritual encounter take place in us. And we begin to change, and we begin to walk in that divine wisdom of the cross. Glory to God. This is the best. It's a powerful message, Apostle. It's a powerful message. The way the Lord give you that, and the way you tell you what's taking the eyes of the Lord. I just wrote this of one page, but there's so much pages you can write. I could write off of what you were saying. It is just you can continue. You can go on that. I like what you say. You can write. You can do several series on everything that you study in the Word. I like when you say that was so powerful, because you can never get the full understanding of the Word of God. The more you study, the more understanding going to get. More understanding going to come. More understanding going to come, because that's the Word of God. It always opens itself to you more and more and more. The more you study, the more it opens. Say, you can read the Word of God, study the Word of God 10 times, you get 10 different revelations. Because every time you open it, God going to show you something new. And you say, Lord, I read that last week. I studied that last week. My God, and now I'm seeing something in the Word that I didn't see last week. Why? Because God is revealing more to you. The more that we study it, the more we study it, the more He reveals. The more He reveals, the more He reveals. This is awesome. I pray Bishop is doing much better. And I'm so grateful to hear that Apostle Millie's daughter went through and had a good surgery today. So grateful.
She called me right after the message, and she said that she's in recovery. I think I said that on the line. She's in recovery. Yeah, she's good. And her husband, we keep him lifted up. He had surgery. Sharon's husband is sick. Apostle Millie's daughter's husband is sick. He had surgery on his back, and it didn't really help. It didn't really help him, but Jesus, but God.
That's right.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that you heal him, Lord. Lord, that you touch his spine, touch the nerve in his back, oh God. Oh God, especially that sciatic nerve, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and that he heal, Lord God, by your healing virtue, God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Lord, we
pray, God, that you ease his pain and suffering, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Glory to God.
For a praise report, Lord. We thank you in advance, God. Hallelujah. Because we believe by faith, God, that you are the ultimate healer, oh God.
Yes,
it wasn't
you are,
the
Lord.
Surgeon, it wasn't the medicine, it wasn't
the doctor. Yes,
but
Jesus.
God, it's what you are able to do,
Lord,
and what
Father,
you are willing to do, oh God. So by your stripes, we claim that he has healed, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you said, I am the Lord that heals you.
Yes,
Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, we believe right now, right
here.
Right now.
We send the word.
For it, Lord. And
hallelujah,
we believe
Jesus.
For a speedy recovery for his wife, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we believe for our Apostle Millie, God, that
yes,
all is
Lord.
Well with her, God. Hallelujah. That she is living in your peace, God.
Yes,
that your
Jesus.
Peace is abounding in her, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Her safe from all harm seen and unseen, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God, we are so grateful. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For the blessing that is upon her life, for the anointing upon her life, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you, God, in advance that she shall come back. She shall come back to Blog Talk. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Release everything that you have put into her, oh
yes,
God.
Yes, Lord
Jesus. In the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Now, God, we thank you for pouring out upon her.
Pouring
out your joy, pouring out
your Lord. Yes, Lord.
Her needs, pouring out all of her needs, taking care of all of her needs, oh God, for you are the one that supplies all of her needs. According to her riches and according to your riches and glory, by Christ Jesus, Lord. We thank you for healing her body, healing her back, oh God. And God, that you touch every organ in her body.
all that are to function according to the perfection that you created it to, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Also for Sharon and her husband, and for all the sick, Lord. We're praying for all the sick, not just those we know, but those we don't know, God, that you touch them with your nail-scarred hands, your healing virtue, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, because you died for them to be free. You died, hallelujah, and rose for their victories. Father, we thank you for victory and healing in Jesus' name, for victory and salvation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For victory over troubles, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, for delivery from all evil in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we believe for souls saved today. We believe souls were saved today by
hallelujah.
Your power. Hallelujah, by the work of the cross, oh God.
Yes,
we thank
Jesus.
You that we
thank
know,
you.
Hallelujah, we thanking you, God, for souls today, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, for more souls as the day goes on, oh God, that you would draw them to Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Father,
Jesus.
We thank you in Jesus Christ's holy, matchless, wonderful name, God. Hallelujah, God. We ask you to touch marriages. Touch the parents, touch
yes,
the marriage,
Jesus.
God,
touch
Lord. The children, Lord.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, 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 Lord.
Children, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh
thank
God.
You, Lord,
we
Jesus.
Cry out, oh God, for the hungry, the sick. We cry out,
thank
oh God,
you, Lord,
for the
Jesus.
Homeless, oh God. Oh, God, to help them, oh, God.
Thank
oh,
you, Lord,
God, that
Jesus.
Even though they don't have shelter, we pray for the shelter. But, God, we're praying that you be
we
their
thank
shelter.
You, Lord Jesus.
Guard them from the weather. Guard them from harm, oh, God, in the name of
yes,
Jesus Christ,
Jesus.
Oh, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Most of them out there, God, have mental illnesses. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you
thank
heal
you,
their minds. Heal their minds, Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Send your ministry
thank
spirit
you, Lord,
out
Jesus.
Among them, oh, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, God. Oh, God, we thank you
mm-hmm.
that you love them. We know you love them, Lord. We
thank
know
you, Lord Jesus.
And we ask you to speak to your church.
Yes, Jesus.
To the body. To all the
thank
members.
You, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Father, that we will labor. We
yes,
will labor
my
for
Lord,
the
my Lord.
We will labor for
yes,
the needy, the sick, the hungry. Oh, God, for the lost.
Oh, yes,
that
Jesus.
We labor, God. Hallelujah. We're calling for labor to come into the kingdom, oh, God. In the name of Jesus
hallelujah,
Christ,
Jesus.
For the churches to come together and take care of the homeless and take care of the sick and the
hallelujah,
poor and the
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, God, for your church, oh, God, is out of step. Out of sync,
yes,
oh God.
Father.
Oh God, bring us back, oh God, bring us into
yes,
recovery, back,
Lord.
God, so that we can
in
be
with your word,
united
Lord.
In Christ, united in Christ like never before. In the name of Jesus Christ, that revival, God, will take
yes,
place
Lord.
In your people, in their homes, in the
yes,
church. Hallelujah, among the body of Christ. Father, we thank you, God. We need you, God. We
thank
need
you, Lord.
You, Lord. Draw us nearer to you, Jesus. Draw your church
nearer,
to
Lord.
You, Jesus. Nobody but you can do it, Father God. In the name
nearer,
of Jesus Christ,
Lord.
We pray, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give seed to the sower because you said you would. You said, I'll give seed to the sower. Lord, give seed to the sower so we can oh, God, in the areas where
Jesus.
It's most needed, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and we pray
Jesus.
For righteousness to be sold across this earth, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, for righteousness to go forth across this earth, oh, God, all over the earth.
Hallelujah,
in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ, oh, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you. Lord, we bless
Jesus.
Your holy name, Lord. Lord, we need you so much, God. We need you now. Lord, we need you now, God. We need you, oh,
thank
God,
you,
to send righteous ones, oh, God, into the government, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
for the
yes,
righteous,
yes, yes,
God,
yes, yes, Lord,
the
yes.
Department. In the judicial system, oh God, for righteousness to go forth in these areas, God, in every area, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes.
Oh God. Raise up leaders, oh God. Raise up leaders, Lord, that is willing
yes,
to labor
yes,
for the
yes,
kingdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Give them the courage and the boldness to do it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hiya. Thank you, Father. Hiya.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We're thanking you in advance for what you're doing right now and for what you will do in our futures. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pour out wisdom, God. Pour out your divine wisdom, God. Pour out divine understanding upon your people, Lord, and upon those, oh God, that just don't know you, Father. Let them see you. Let them hear you. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for the family, for the comfort of the family. Bring the family members closer to you, God. When you lost these three young students, God, college students that were murdered, and five other students, Lord God, was injured. Father God, so senseless. So much of it, God, so much murder. We come against that murdering spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Those young men doing well in school, my God, doing what was right, and somebody just came in and started shooting. Lord, have mercy, God. Have mercy on their parents, their loved ones. Father God, comfort them through this time of grief. In the name of Jesus, comfort all of those who have lost their loved ones. Comforter, our helper. Lead them and guide them, oh God. Oh God, guard their hearts and their minds, Father, with your peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Lord. Oh God, it's so sad. So sad. Oh my God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I answered prayer, God.
We want to open the line. Anybody that want to come on in and encourage the woman of God, the man of God, you can come on in now. Apostle Stuart was on for a little while, and he jumped back off, but we thank God that he's coming and going, but, you know, once they hear a little bit, don't matter. As long as they hear a little bit.
Amen.
You know, God is good. The line is open. The line is open. Don't forget Evangelist Bounce. She's coming tomorrow to bring us a word tomorrow. So God is good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thank God.
The line is open.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We'll give them 5 minutes. If nobody wants to respond, let's go ahead and close out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Apostle, we can go ahead and pray and close out.
Praise the Lord. Glory to your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Apostle, I want to relay a message. I think Apostle Linda had already sent it to you, and it was too late for me to call you last night. Thank you. Mm. You know what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, my brother.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wasn't even expecting nothing like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah, glory. Glory to the name. Now, as we depart one from another, let us leave in peace. Oh God, we ask you to watch over our steps wherever we may go. Watch over
yes,
them.
Yeah.
Watch over everyone. Oh God, thank you for the praise report from Apostle Miller's daughter.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then we pray in the name of Jesus that her husband has a completely wonderful turnaround.
Yes, Lord.
We'll be doing better, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ knows that we pray for him, and it's just up to him, you know, we'll, you know, to accept the prayers that we say for him.
Yes.
And God, you know, he knows. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how we think. You know, and I just praise you, Lord God. We open up all the eyes of our hearts, our minds. Open them up, Lord. Thank you. Until we meet again tomorrow, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. God bless everybody.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Yes.
Thank you so
we love you. God loves you more. God
hallelujah.
Bless. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Mother Grant. Thank you, Deacon Favor.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord.
God bless. Hallelujah.